That's it.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to begin our Tuesday Bible study. Minister Alfred is not with us this week. He's on the road, but he will be back in the chair next Tuesday. Have no fear. We are welcome those who are listening by podcast. We welcome you and pray that you will be blessed today as we study the Word of God. And we're going to begin in an opening prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, O God, for another day, Lord God, of healing, deliverance, restoration, O God, and fresh mercies and much grace, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you have appointed us for this time, O God, in this place. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit have his way in this place. Give us revelation and understanding that we may be able to speak truth and grace to others, O God. We lift up the shepherd of this house. Lord, continue to bless him with wisdom, understanding, greater grace and favor. Bless all those who serve in the ministry here. Bless, O God, the shepherd's wife and his children. Lord, we pray for the children of the school here at Firm Foundation, Lord God, that you will keep watch over them, that every one of these children, before they leave the school, will know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they as children will go back to their respective homes and speak truth and grace. Father, we honor you for this day. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Have your way, Holy Spirit. This is our desire. We yield to you. We thank you, O God. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we say amen, amen, amen and amen.
Amen.
We're at chapter 9 here, here in Daniel, the book of Daniel. And I like to have someone begin reading verses 1 to 3 and 9, please. 1 to 3, please, someone.
In the first year, Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keep his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments.
Okay, we'll stop right here. Okay, please. Okay, now, I want your eyes to go back to what Daniel did verse 3. He says he made his request by what?
Prayer and supplication.
Okay, with fasting. Now, Daniel is a prophet. We know that, right? So, not only is he praying, when we read praying, what is your thought of what is prayer? And then he's with supplication. Prayer and supplication. Anybody's thoughts about prayer and supplication? What is the process, or what is he doing? Because people say pray, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pray. They don't say supplication, do they?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so some breakdown of that.
Supplication means he's down on his face praying also. I mean, he's not just sitting up in a chair or standing up. He's down.
Okay.
Humbling himself
intense,
physically.
It's an intense, you say an intense life prayer.
Okay, any other thoughts?
Prayer is when he go before God in repentance and just thanking, repentance and thanking him. And then supplication is when he come back and start, you know, praising him and thanking him for what he's going to do.
And
prayer really is a direct communication between you and God. That's what prayer really amounts to.
Okay. But that is the stream. But prayer also has substance to it. So the prayer is entering into, says, enter into his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
When we go into prayer, we go into lifting him up, praising him, and recognizing him and telling him who he is. That is prayer, okay? That's going in saying, God, you are almighty. You are awesome. You are wonderful. There is none likening to you. You do wondrous things.
Yeah.
You are a healer. You are, you know, then you start calling the names of God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah. That's the prayer, you know? Supplication is specifics.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Supplication is specifics.
Mm-hmm.
You are specifically praying for your grandchildren after you give him all the praise.
Mm-hmm.
You're lifting them up. That our sister's eyes will be rapidly manifesting a wholeness in her eyes and her healing every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
Specifics, okay? And as a prophet, he's fasting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, he's in captivity. And he's getting all these visions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Jew, when Jews are engaging in God in intensity, they fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they put sackcloths on. And they put ashes on. That's their symbolism of they intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tearing up the stuff and putting on, you know, they are intensely involved with God. So here we're beginning to see, and this I believe in this chapter is the most definitive example of intercessory prayer, and he's working up to it now. Okay, so we go to I'm going to reread. So let me just say this: it is now the time period where we are now is 538 BC, and 13 years have passed since the vision of Daniel in chapter 8. 13 years have passed. Babylon has just recently fallen to Persia, Medo-Persia. And the Jews have been in captivity for 68 years. And their temple is still lying in ruins. Okay? So, where we read where he says in 2, he says, by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years. All right, you don't have to write this down. I'm going to give you the scripture references. I have these for you. Jeremiah 29:10 says, for thus saith the Lord, this is what Jeremiah said, prophesied, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work towards you and causing you to return to this place. And he's talking Jerusalem. Okay. So in 4, Daniel, and I prayed to the Lord, my God, and made confession. Now, confession is, watch his methodology in prayer. Confession, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's confessing. So confession is coughing it up, the bad behavior, the bad attitude, the wrong thinking. I made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant. O saints, when you pray, remind God in your prayer. You are covenant-keeping God.
Mm-hmm.
You put your name you put your word before your name. You bring that to him. That the Lord delights in that.
Mm-hmm.
He delights in you reminding him, not that he forgot, but it says to you, Daddy, You're covenant keeping. So I know when I come to you, it's good to go. Amen? Okay. So those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, he says, Lord, I confess. And he's going to tell you what he's confessing a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're a covenant keeping God. And you have mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandment. He has mercy with you when you keep his commandment. Even when you fall a little bit like I do, and I had to come and, Lord, I messed up again. He has mercy.
Yes, ma'am.
He has mercy.
That's right.
So number five, now here we go. We're getting ready to go into it now. Mm-hmm. He says, we have sinned.
We have sinned.
He didn't say, I have. He's an accessory prayer is what? When you praying for others.
Uh-huh.
And he included himself in as a sinner. This is a prophet including himself in saying, and we have sinned. Uh-huh. Because he didn't isolate himself from his brother, Jewish brothers and uh-huh. sisters. How about if we go into prayer and say, Lord, we have sinned. The body of Christ, we have sinned.
That's right.
You know, we have sinned.
And we have.
We have sinned. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I do intercede for the body of Christ. We have sinned.
Yes,
we have turned our back against
yes,
you.
We
have not done what you instructed us to do.
Right.
As a result, look what we have.
Right.
Look what we have. We have sinned and committed iniquity. Oof. Now, iniquity is really stinky sin. I mean, that's like real. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay, we have done wickedly, and rebelled, even departing. Oh my goodness! Let me get even departing. Come on, departing your precepts and your judgment. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. Okay, let me have someone go from 7 to 9. I want to keep this going. I want to keep this momentum going. Keep the rhythm going. Come on, somebody. Seven to nine.
O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee,
mm-hmm.
but unto us confusion of faces as at this day.
Mm-hmm.
To the men of Judah
mm-hmm.
and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee.
Mm-hmm.
To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him.
All right, somebody pick up 10 to 13. Let's keep it going. This is a prayer. I want the momentum. Come on, 10 to 13.
Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord
mm-hmm.
our God, to walk in his love, which he said before. I apologize. My reading glasses.
Okay.
Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servant the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed by law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore the curse is poured upon us,
mm-hmm.
and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned
mm-hmm.
against him.
Mm-hmm.
And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven have not been done as have been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth.
Hmm. Ooh, now this is, let me keep it going, because we can get a lot of discussion after this.
Okay, let me stop.
Go ahead, 14 to 16, honey.
Okay, therefore the Lord has brought upon us the disasters he prepared. The Lord our God was right to do all these things, for we did not obey him. Oh Lord our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your fierce fearsome anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors.
Okay, now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. See that? Mm-hmm. Direct, specific supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your... Oh, Lord Jesus, because of your great mercies. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name.
Lord Jesus. That makes you shout.
That is an intercessory prayer. Right prayer. Yeah. This is the example I use in all teaching and prayer. If you want to know a prayer, take it. Each one of us can take this around and bring it right to the 21st century of 2018, right now, this month.
We are in the same state.
We in captivity. We're in captivity in the United States. Listen, you can't go out and pray and open. You can't profess your faith in every place.
You sure can.
You go down to Hartsfield and start standing up there passing out tracts and see what happens to you.
You get locked up.
Yeah, you get locked up for disturbing the peace. Then I got to come down there and bond you out. Till we go to court and we stand before the judge. He said, Well, I was just passing out my faith. And he goes, that's not done here. We don't do those things here in this state.
Yep.
We're in captivity.
Called solicitation.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted, when I was reading, I have read this often before. And the first time I read it with my heart, received it, I was like, oh my goodness. I was like slipping down. I think I had slipped down to the chair on the floor. It'll knock your socks off. Mm-hmm. It'll knock you. When we pray, these are the kinds of prayers, the Old Testament prayers, we need to bring up before the Lord today. Because he prayed like David. How many times did David say, forgive us, oh God? So when we talk about forgive, not just forgive us, our family, we as believers forgive the body of Christ. Just because maybe you don't think you did nothing, you don't know what you did. That's why Holy Spirit, but we got some that's messing up, okay? And so we're in this together.
That's right.
You ain't squeaky clean over here. You a squeaky clean vein and everybody else over here. How you gonna function without them?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So this is. I knew that this would eat your heart out today. I knew this would rock your boat today.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're gonna go back and read it over and over again. This is an example of how to pray, interceding, prayer, supplication, and confession and fasting. And I don't mean hope somebody don't beat me up on this, but the fasting is not always from the pushing the plate away from the table. Wrong thinking.
Yeah.
Bad attitude.
Yeah.
Grudges.
Right.
Tight fist money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fasting is releasing and asking God to cleanse you and pure you.
Wow.
So it's like, I was trying, let's push your plate away from the table. I could not eat all day and not fast.
Yeah.
Right. You just not eating.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
If you ain't saved when you get baptized, you just a sinner going in the water, sinner coming up.
That's right.
Okay? All right. So this is what I wanted to capitalize on this intercessory prayer, because this is now, this shows you the heart of Daniel. Now, remember that this is 13 years. Now, by this time, Daniel's way in his 40s, 50s, you know, because when he was in captivity, he wasn't a little kid. He was a young man, you know. So, I'm going to pick up on 17. We did 17, rather. Now, here we are from 17 to 19 and previous. Daniel is worried that, in chapter 8, we talked about the 2,300 days and the cleansing for the sanctuary. Remember, the sanctuary is in ruins, and to the Jews, the temple is, that's where we go to worship. Mm-hmm. That's where we go to get into the presence of God. So that's sanctified there. Okay, when they don't have the place where they can go, and they're like fish out of water, you know, fish out of water. And so he's worried that the 2,300 days and the cleansing for the sanctuary, which was talked about in Daniel 8, but the angel told him about the sanctuary being desolated and so forth, but he didn't explain everything to him. So Daniel was still in a state of, okay, I heard this, but I don't know all what's going on. So the angel did not explain to him, which may refer to an extended captivity. Now, Daniel knows that according to Jeremiah 29:10, the 70 years of Jerusalem's desolation are almost over. Mm-hmm. Okay, according to that prophecy. Yet he understands the conditional nature of certain prophecies, and you'll read this later. I gave you a scripture read in Jeremiah 18:1-10. When you go back and you cross reference, you're going to see. You don't have to write it down. I've got a scripture references for you, and then also in Leviticus 26, that whole chapter. Mm-hmm. And Daniel fears. He fears that perhaps because of his people's sins, that their time in exile, that's why this thing was so hard. He knew the folks had messed up. And he's trying to, Lord, how can we, will you forgive us and have mercy and bring us back to the sanctuary? And Daniel fears that perhaps because of their sins, their time in exile may be extended to 2,300 years. As we read in verses 5 and 6 and then verses 15 and 16. So these things are weighing heavily on his mind. In essence, he's worried about, Lord, will you hear us and bring us out? That's basically where he is. Mm-hmm. So he's interceding in prayer for his people. Though Daniel was a devout prophet, he identifies himself with God and his rebellious people. Okay, now, just a little sidebar. Let us identify with rebellious people. Those who profess the faith, but yet do differently. Like those that are in office, and those that are in places of influence who claim to be mm-hmm. believers, and yeah. yet what they're doing in terms of the laws and legislation aren't lining up as with God's word. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that we're in a world that is not godless, but we as believers, when we're in places of influence, if we are not aligned with the Holy Spirit, we cannot bring God's will in, because the forces of this world will shut your mouth up, because you don't want to lose your job or your pension or whatever.
Right.
You know,
right.
But if the Holy Spirit, because he makes ways, he'll give you what to speak at the right time. Things that your little pea brain will never think of how to say it that way.
Right.
But he can. And I don't want to get too far off of that. Okay, so any quick questions or more comments or thoughts about this intercessory prayer before we get on the 70 weeks prophecy, before we look at that a little bit? Any thoughts about, we see we really got a good... good dose of an intercessory prayer, I would say, an example of one.
I don't have a question, but I have maybe a couple of comments. I don't know. Mm-hmm. One thing I've noticed, and every time I read and study this, I always come up with something new.
Mm-hmm.
Always come mm-hmm. up with, and I don't really like the word always.
Mm-hmm.
And this time is no different. You know, always come up with something new. I heard you say that, make a statement that we were, this happened around 538. I came up with 538 BC on one occasion. Then I went back and reread it, and I went to Kings, 2 Kings, went to 2 Chronicles, came with 539.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to the captivity as to when it happened, and I wasn't able to come up with too many good dates, solidified dates, 605 to 606 BC. So when I did that, and this is when I think you guys heard me say a long time ago, 9 through 12 and Daniel kicks my rooty tootie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my, the accounting in me when I deal with these numbers and get so far back up here. You had mentioned Jeremiah 29:10, and I also wrote down Jeremiah 25:11 and Jeremiah 25:12,
mm-hmm.
which is basically the same thing, with the exception 12, verse 12 and 25 states that he's going to bring the hammer down on the Babylonians anyway. You know, they're not going to live rent-free. You know, he's going to demolish them for their sin. So they think they've gotten away, but God is going to lower the hammer on them
mm-hmm.
as well. But the thing that really sticks out at me when I study this over and over again, and not just this time, is the word you mentioned earlier when Daniel said about intercessory prayer. He said, we. And, you know, when you look at that inclusive pronoun, we, Daniel really didn't sin. If you go back and look through this Bible, there are two individuals other than Jesus Christ that always say you don't find any ought against. That's Daniel and Joseph, okay? So Daniel is interceding for his people as well. He didn't say, he could have said, they.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, they have sinned. Not me, they have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
But he said,
we
mm-hmm. have sinned. So he's including himself,
mm-hmm.
as you said, mm-hmm. in that intercessory there. So I think that's very, very important. And I always try to flip the coin and say, wait a minute, what did he do when he said we have sinned? I'm trying to figure out. Oh, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at this stuff and I say, what did he do? You know, what did he didn't do? Why is he saying we have sinned? So I flip the coin on a lot of things that I see in Scripture to get another approach from it.
One of the things that for a student of the Bible, the historical dates and everything oftentimes may miss out on a year, or the numbers may be a little bit different, and that is because who recorded at that time
mm-hmm.
and how it was interpreted. And I could give you some examples, but I don't have them off the top of my head. But you're right.
So
yes.
So
and because when I took the course of history of the Bible, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, one scripture said this and one, but you can't take the whole content literally, as you have to take it line upon line and precept what God said, because the writings were interpreted by those who thought, you know, when they tried to interpret Hebrew to Greek, that's very hard, because many words in Hebrew may mean different things in different contexts. Okay,
and I could see Daniel saying we. Because he realized there is none righteous, no but one, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see him including himself as a prophet, knowing I'm not perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not Peter. Right.
Well, listen, when Jesus was in Gethsemane and his humanity began to fall on him, and he knew what he had to do, what did he ask the Father? Take it mm-hmm. if you can.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, humanity, you're going to have sin. You're going to be, you know, it don't mean you got to practice it,
mm-hmm.
but there's going to be sin that's going to be in your face, and you're going to be influenced, because this world is a sinful, fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, and we have ignorant sins, because God is so holy, that we're in the process now of getting to him and being holy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a work, that's a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
We become perfect when we become like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be sin. not practicing sin, you know what I'm saying, but there is. So let, for the sake of time, let me go to the 70 weeks prophecy. Can we get a reader to read verses 20 to 23?
Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sins and the sins of my people, Israel, the present and presenting my supplications before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God.
Hold it right there, please, Miss Francis. Again, I just want to point out again here where it says, and I was presenting my supplication. He didn't say, and I was praying and supplicating. Mm-hmm. He said, I was, see, that's why I want to keep y'all zero on my supplications. Okay, Miss Francis, okay. Sister Francis.
So presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And that evening offering, I know I'm getting away from that, but that's prayer, right?
Yes.
Offering,
okay. Mm-hmm.
The evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skills to understand. At the beginning of your supplications and command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision.
Okay. Now, these verses are really a continuation of the vision in chapter 8, most of which was already explained to Daniel. The only thing that was not interpreted for him was in, which is in chapter 8, if you go back, was not interpreted, not confusion, but not knowing, was in chapter 8, 13 to 14. Now, the section of the 2300 days and the cleansing of the sanctuary. Now, as we continue in this chapter 8, Gabriel now begins to tell him about the period of 490 years concerning the Messiah. Now, the Messiah is Jesus, right?
Right.
See, that's why you can see Jesus in the Old Testament. You can see Jesus in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, okay? So now, this is concerning the Messiah, the Jewish nation, and the temple. So it's three. You don't have to write it down. I got it for you here. But there's three things that are happening here. The Messiah, the Jewish nation, and their God forgiving them, and so forth, and the temple being rebuilt. Daniel also receives a significant clue, all right, that allows to pinpoint the beginning of both the 490-year period and the 2300-year prophecy. Yes, D, but we'll continue. Okay. So we got now to 24, and I'll go 24. 70 weeks are, this is the angel telling Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of their sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, a portion of the 2300-year time period has been set aside for the Jews in Jerusalem. This verse groups the first three items and links them with the second trio. And I'm not going to give you all the trios because I have them in writing for you now. So I'm just going to go ahead and read, and when we finish that, I'll go over it. 25. Know, therefore, and understand from that the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. This is Jesus. This is who do Messiah the Prince. That's Jesus. There shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolation, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out in the desolation. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a lot there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in verse 24, this verse gives evidence of the coming Messiah, Jesus, mm-hmm. coming, and his death and resurrection. Okay? In the first part of this 24 to 27, we have what is called Trio 1. And that is, when you get your hand out, you'll look back, it's right here. One is to finish the transgression, that is to finish this crazy, sinful, wicked living, to make an end of the sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Trio 2, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, in these two trios, God deals with all sins by his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. Within this 70-week period, the second trio reveals that. So let me go back and read that again. Because I think I may have not been very clear. In the first three, which was to finish the transgression, to make an end of the sins, to make reconciliation for the. In this first trio, God deals with all sins by his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection within the 70-week time. Okay? The second trio reveals that Christ's death and resurrection accomplishes everlasting righteousness, confirms the vision, authenticity, and anoints the heavenly sanctuary for use. In verses 25 to 27, these verses outline events to take place during the 70 weeks. They also have a definite structure of two groups of three. Group A, unto the Messiah, the Prince. Two, shall Messiah be cut off. Three, shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Oblation is to give an offering to the Lord. The second group is the street shall be built again and the wall. What we mean is that the city will be built again in the wall where the sanctuary will be. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Now, the first group concerns that first group, and I got your handout, and I have this written down for you to go back and read and mull over it. The first group concerns the Messiah and takes place within the 70-week time period. The second group concerns Jerusalem and an opposing prince, and that's the enemy trying to oppose the building of the wall, the building of Jerusalem, and so forth. But it's not limited to 70 weeks, but the first is. All that will be done in the 70-week period, but the second, the angel didn't tell him how long that's going to be. We have to go to chapter 10 to find out.
That's to be determined.
Yes, to be determined, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be determined.
Yeah, I just wanted to say this to you, just my own suggestion to you. When you're reading this, don't try and cross every I and dot every T, okay? Just read it and ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, because what will happen is that all this stuff is 70 weeks. Okay, I hear you. Okay. All right. So you read further down, maybe in 12 or 13, and then the connection will come. He'll give it to you because you want it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So don't get overwhelmed with, like I did. I don't want you to do like, what's the 70? What? I'm just a digger and doing research. And so just receive it. And as you read, because your heart is open and you want it and the Lord wants you to have it, it's going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come to you.
Amen.
When you were saying trio, is that that word vision or
is trio? No, trio is a set. It was like a trio is three.
Okay.
So there were three things that were happening, specific things that were happening.
Okay, so
in the first part of the yeah. And then in the second part there were another three things that happened. Okay, in the midst of 24 to 27, actually there were six different highlights. But they had different time frames and they dealt with the Christ coming, the Messiah. The city being rebuilt, and then the opposing prince. Remember, we still got the enemy of God working against it, you know. So, like I said, it when you just take your time, and try not to get too intense or impatient with yourself, you know, because this is not the prophet didn't even get it all, okay? So, you know, little prophets and prophetess in here, you know, he didn't get it all, so we can wait and Holy Spirit will give it to us because we want it.
Mm-hmm. Even in reading some of the commentaries, they had different discretions about what these years were and how many it were and whether it was when the end time was coming, and so even with them who had studied, still.
I said I wish I could have given you all something a little more clear, like point A, but I couldn't, and I just kind of got as much as I could to help you and me, okay, all of us, because it's not something you can just. It's like you can give a lecture on something, or you can read some writings or something, and then give, you know, here it is in a summary. Mm-hmm. You can't, because we're talking about days and events that are taking place, and so forth, and you got, you know, the angel coming, giving him vision, but not always giving him the full explanation of it. So Daniel's like us, you know, in a way, okay, Lord, we're waiting for the rest then, you know.
Mm-hmm. In this commentary, they was saying that when Darius, you know, was king, that Daniel had went in and read a lot of the books, and he read the story about Jeremiah.
Right.
He already knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's how he knew through the books of the Jews.
That's why, yeah, it says in Daniel 29. Yeah. Well, see, Daniel, one of the things that Daniel had with him is that he had the writings that he was taught, and the prophecies and the writing of the prophets. He had that in captivity.
Right.
You know, so he was reading and praying and so forth. And I would just venture to say that because of Daniel's spirit and his love of God and his belief of the Most High God, Jehovah, Yahweh, that there was nothing that anybody could tell him. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible doesn't give us all the intimate, but he had to have some real intimate times with the Lord, you know, some intense times like you all have, you know, to grow in that relationship, in that trust that nothing is impossible with God.
That's right.
You know, when people start, when you start getting into that, like your grandma said, God said it and that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Case closed. Yeah. Ain't no period, nothing.
Yeah.
That's what he said, and that's what, and everybody else looking at her like, don't you understand? She didn't care.
Yeah.
God said it, and that was it.
Right.
You can talk to you blue in the face and tell me that whatever, but my God said it, and that is so.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could get to that consistently in my life, I tell you, I think I have notched up a bit. But and that takes work, because it's, yeah, you know, this and this is working against us all the time. And any other thoughts or comments? This was a very I just can't stop talking about that intercessory prayer. I'm sorry.
I love it.
And it is like, you know, we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have.
Yeah.
We have sinned.
But he also had such a passion.
Yes.
For his people. I mean, even though he was serving kings, he still had a passion for his Jewish people.
You see, you know, one of the things you got to remember, y'all, back in those days, the family structure was tight. The teaching of God was tight. It didn't that they just go to Shabbat on Friday evening and Shabbat on Saturday. It was all during the week. They prayed all during the week. And then on Friday evening, you have your Shabbat, you begin Shabbat, and there's prayer and the lighting of the candles and giving thanks to God. It's all, it was a way of life. It was a way, whereas we in the Western world, we get, as a child, we get introduced, you know, to the Bible, Jesus and so forth. But it's like, you go to Sunday school, or you go to vacation Bible school, and so forth. But when you get home, it, that intense praying and reading the scripture was done there. Remember that all the little Jewish boys learned the five from books of the Old Testament by the time they were 10 years old, 12. Because they're bar mitzvah.
They have to today, and they
verbatim recite in Hebrew.
They do
all the five books of the law.
If they're bar mitzvah,
that's a bar mitzvah, and you know we get all happy about. You know, the coming out with all that old crazy stuff. That's serious business. Now, we could make the our children come through talking about, oh, well, they coming out and all this. Well, what do they know about God?
That's right.
You know, what do they know about God?
Well, the Catholics tried to emulate
catechism. Catechism, right, yeah.
Oh, really? They tried to emulate that with catechism.
Yeah. They, with the, you know, with all the inclusion stuff that they had, you know, where everything is mother, holy mother, mother God. No, you know, and to this day, they still see her as a virgin.
You know,
well, she had other children. How are you gonna be a virgin? You know,
don't they mean the virgin? She was the virgin before.
Right,
but they still worship her as a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
As a virgin. We know that. Okay. You know,
I had some friends who were Catholic because I grew up in New Orleans, so it's a Catholic city, and we had lots of discussions like that, and they really truly believe. I mean, when you say Mary had other kids, it's like, oh, you just didn't say the bad word.
Oh, wow. So
blasphemy.
Wow. Oh, even though it was in the Bible.
Okay,
I'm gonna and so now we have studied chapter 9, and we have really been, the Holy Spirit has really enlightened us on intercessory prayer. And so we will use this 9 prayer as an example for us, I truly trust. And we're going to end our study today. And you who are listening to this podcast, I pray that you will receive greater revelation of understanding intercessory prayer, and that you will be blessed. Amen.